shoot, what were we talking about?
We're talking about dick.
Benson, welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me on every Thursday. Today, my special guest. Why are you laughing?
Too tired to be crazy.
Did you not realize?
No, I just
you
love
like
it.
Come on my podcast. You don't even know the name of it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. But I really like it. Too tired to be crazy.
Too tired to be crazy. After I just told her I was crying before she came to my interview.
We all need breakdowns. It's okay.
It's like quick breakdowns. You just like gotta get it over with.
It's like a quickie.
Yeah,
but like an emotional quickie.
Literally, and I feel better.
I'm kind of turned on.
Me too. When you cry, you release like actual stress hormones.
So instead of somebody eating your pussy, you're just crying.
Yeah.
That's how you get it.
Honestly, I prefer the second thing at this point. I'll take the crying. That's all I have.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so my guest today is Kiana Lede.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to fuck it up. I'm really proud
of
you.
I thought I was going to fuck it up. Okay, Kiana Lede. Okay, so my guest today is very talented. She is an R&B singer. She starred in the second season of MTV's Scream, the Netflix show All About the Washingtons. Her debut album released recently in April, and number 30 in the Billboard charts. And I mean, there's more than that. I mean, you released an album in April, but I feel like you also released an album in July or June or July, haven't you? Or a single?
No, I released a single, Dear Mr. President.
Okay, I think I get mixed up between the definition of an album and a
album
single.
Is multiple songs.
And a single is just
singles one.
Yeah. Okay, well, I feel like last night I really was in my emotions, so I was like listening to like all of your songs, but then I swear that we're in different categories. Like
there's two EPs.
Oh, you
which
see?
Which is a smaller album, basically.
That's what confuses me. Yes. I was listening to Moving On, and then I was listening to Nostalgia.
Oh,
which
so
is...
those are playlists. So like so many different terms. So those are playlists, which I basically put the moods of each of like a couple songs of the album. I package them together as moods.
Yo,
and
I'm
then put them
so
out.
So dumb. I was like, damn, she released three albums in 2020. This is insane. Kiki, Nostalgia, Moving On. And I was like, yeah, Moving On. Then I was like, okay, we're gonna talk about exes and Moving On. Perfect. Because of your like your playlist titles, which I thought were albums.
Yeah, no, those are playlists, but
which explains why some songs repeated it themselves.
Yes.
Now I fully understand in every single artist on their playlist on Spotify why they have that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, why do they keep some of the same songs in a new album?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why.
Wow. I learned
Or sometimes
today.
They put out the singles of the songs before they put out the album.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you already
I
heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
My sister told me to stop talking about zodiac signs so much, but I'll just ask this one question, then we never have to speak about it again. Okay. What do you think that makes you such an Aries?
I think all the qualities of an Aries, like, I possess to, like, the deepest level. Like, I'm very extreme, very confident, also very sensitive, very stubborn. Like, everything that is about an Aries is me. So even if zodiacs didn't exist, which they do, but even if they didn't, it would still like classify me as, or it would still.
You would still have those traits.
I would still have those traits, and those traits are what make me me, and also happen to be traits of an Aries.
Yeah, and I'm a Scorpio, and Scorpio and Aries get along really well. You say you don't really like dating them. I love dating Aries, so maybe that's how Aries people feel about me when they date me. Because I'm very passionate and I feel like, and my favorite thing about Aries, and I feel like that's why I have so many girlfriends who are Aries. Mm. My favorite thing about Aries is that we're both so passionate and we say how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sensitive in different ways, I would say, but like we just are so like straightforward. And I think I love that about my friendships, all my friends, like we just speak our minds and it's just fun. And I feel like what I love dating Aries guys is because I'm very possessive and I'm like, you're mine. And I feel like Aries is the only other sign that also loves being like, you're mine.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is like, that's disrespectful. You don't own me. You don't own my body. No. And I'm like, but you're mine. Like,
no,
what?
I want somebody to want to like own me. And I want
me
to
too.
I always talk about this. Like, I want to find that person that is like, you're mine and I'm yours and there's nobody else and it's us against the world and that's it. And we're fucking partners. Like, you're my fucking person.
That's me too.
That's what I want. That's
I want that too. So why don't you like Scorpios? I don't get it.
because Scorpios, the Scorpio men, at least that I've known, it's like they're possessive, but they don't return that. They don't ever like, they have control issues.
Oh.
And they're possessive, but they're very narcissistic and selfish, but they're never just like, hey, and yeah, I'm also yours. There's never that return of that.
Yeah, my dad's a Scorpio.
Mine too. So.
Oh my God.
we have stories to share.
Both our dads are Scorpios. That's so funny. Shout out to my dad.
But I also think that we're like one of the only signs for each other to like keep it real with each other.
Yeah, I
to
agree.
To like put each other in place and be like, I feel like there's only one other sign like that, and for me at least, and that's Leo's. That like
yeah,
keep Leo, it very like
Aries and Leo's are a great it's very compatible too. I agree. Like I wouldn't say I get along that well with other Leo girls because like I love to be the center of attention and right. So do they, but some people also say I'm not that much of a Scorpio, so I don't know. But like I agree with Aries that we do keep it real, and as a Scorpio I think I respect people more once the first time they put me in my place, which is
right.
Very common for me to test people's boundaries. And then like one time with my friend Kira, I said something to hurt her feelings because it's very common for me to do that on accidents. And then she was just like, that's not okay. Like you really upset me and I don't feel like a friend should talk to me this way. And instead of like, you know, being like, well, fuck her, whatever, I listen. I respected her for standing up to me.
Right.
And I was like, I hear you. This will never happen again. And it never did. And it brought us closer because it made me respect her. And I feel like in a weird way, I hate talking about zodiac signs, but I feel like in a weird way, it's a Scorpio trait where we test people's boundaries. And if they put us in their place, we love them so much more because of that.
Right. And I like to put people in their place.
Yeah. So that's what we want. Perfect. Like, I love it. So we're good. Okay. So what do you think? Is there something you think that most people don't know about you?
I mean, the only thing that I would say is that I'm like an extremely sexual person. Like, I think more than I put out.
I don't know. I listened to some of your songs last night.
I know. They seem very sexual, but like even more than that. Like there's some stuff I have to like not put on my Instagram stories or like there's stuff on my saved that I just saved and left in my camera roll because I was like, that's just a little too much.
But I love that. Well, I don't know if you guys, a lot of people, I don't know if everyone knows this about you because you look mixed and I'm not sure people know what you are, but I was looking at it and basically it's really cool. Your mom is Mexican and Native American, and then your father is African American. I was like African black. Is African American and Native American.
Yeah, and they're both white too.
And they both have white in them too, and that's where you said that you and your sisters, you guys all kind of look different a little too. Like your sisters are blonde.
Yeah. So I'm the only one with my mom and my dad. My mom is Native Mexican and white. Her mom is from Norway. And is my mom's second generation American. And then my mom's dad was deported back to Mexico before she was born, so I never knew him, but he was Native Mexican. And then my dad is black and white, and he has Native, like he has Cherokee and Cheyenne in him as well. I don't know what side that comes from, but he's white and black. But I'm the only one with my mom and my dad, so my sisters have another mom, and their mom is half black, half white. She's from Germany.
Okay.
Croatia and Germany. She grew up in like both parts. Okay. But her dad is from Brooklyn and he's New York. He's from Brooklyn and he's black.
Got it.
So they are technically more black than I am, but they look exactly like me. Like picture me, but white with more freckles, blue eyes, blonde hair, but it's an afro. That's my middle sister.
That's so beautiful.
And then my youngest sister is picture me, white skin, dark blue eyes, and red curly hair. Yeah,
that's so crazy.
Like all three different colors, but we all look exactly alike, weirdly.
Yeah, that's really crazy. So
then I also have a brother.
Oh, okay.
My brother is my mom and my stepdad and he doesn't look anything like me, but he is white and Mexican and Native.
So then growing up with all the being so biracial, then growing up, was it hard for you then to feel like you fit in with any type of like, what was it hard for you to even find your identity?
Yeah, it was really hard to find my identity. Like I always felt like I was like a loner. Like I never fit in anywhere fully. When it came to like personality or race or anything, my school was very segregated. And I was one of those girls that like that showed in my personality. Like I was friends with everybody. I was just friends with everybody. Everybody knew me, but I never really like belonged to one group.
Oh my God, that was me in high school too.
Yeah. And but you weren't like a popular girl. Like I wasn't like a popular girl.
Oh, I was popular.
Oh.
Can't relate. Well,
I was definitely not a popular girl because the popular girls were skinny white girls. Like they were like volleyball really.
So I mean
I had friends in every single group. I grew up in a predominantly Black and Mexican neighborhood, and I would ride the bus every day, so I had friends, you know, of all of my races, but they didn't really hang out with me on the weekends because I didn't speak Spanish as well as they did because I didn't know my grandpa, so like I just never was able to like keep up with them on the weekends. They'd be having conversations all in Spanish and I'd be like, wait, speak slower. So couldn't really hang out with them. No one really like wanted to get to know me. So I was always kind of left in the middle. So I had like a lot of Filipino friends in high school because they kind of felt the same way as me.
Aww.
That was my high school experience. But it wasn't until I came out to LA then I felt like there was a more mixture of people. Like it was more diverse and I had a lot more Black friends and I was able to get closer to my culture. My dad wasn't really in my life until I was like 12. So like getting to know him a little bit more as I'm getting more into my adult life.
And your stepdad's white.
My stepdad's white. Yeah. So it was like getting to know my culture a little bit more and getting closer with people of my race that were willing to get to know me in LA was a little bit easier, you know?
Yeah. So how do you identify yourself as now?
I identify myself as every one of the things that I am and also mixed. So like I am Mexican, I am Native, I am Black, I'm not white. I can't even say I'm white because no one sees me as white. Like my skin is Black and brown. So the only thing that I don't identify as is white because I've just never been viewed as white. But
so then is it weird, you have such a loving relationship with your stepfather and he's mm-hmm. white. So did that change anything for you in your point of view or in your life? Or
not at all. I mean, he's always loved me, accepted me, protected me, fought for me. And we have had lots of really progressive and great conversations about race. And he supports me and how I feel about my race and how I feel about my identity. He has always had my back and he's somebody that I really trust to have those conversations with because he fights for me and he's like, I don't think open-minded is not the right word. Like you shouldn't have to be open-minded to like be accepting of somebody's color of their skin or race, but like, he's just a very good dude and he's very, progressive. So it's never been weird with us.
Today's podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve says that the best part of staying at home is playing at home. Take advantage of that downtime and choose almost any one item on their site right now at 50% off. When you do, you're also going to get 10 free boredom busting gifts, including 6 spicy movies, a 3-piece bonus kit, and best of all, free shipping delivered discreetly right to your door. Just remember to use my offer code VIOLET50. That's VIOLET50 at checkout. Adam and Eve has thousands of products to make you glad that you're staying at home. Sex toys make being at home so much better and more enjoyable. I mean, even shopping from home is more enjoyable when you're shopping for sex toys, you know? So go to adamandeve.com and use my offer code VIOLET50. Masturbate the troubles away. I love your songs because it's always about, you know, love and sex and boys and feelings. So what would you say in your recent album, what would you say inspired you, all those songs? Because it was a lot about like moving on, like sometimes like, oh, I just want to fuck you again. But then it's like also moving on. It's like no more second chances, keep going. And like, remember you're a bad bitch and blah, blah. But then it's like, I miss you. And then I was like, okay, what what is this about?
I mean, it's all just based off of true events. I think love is one of the greatest things that moves us in life. And I am a very emotional person. So I had to let it out in the songs.
So would you say your relationship's usually what inspires all your songs?
Yeah, the ones that come out.
Is that scary for guys to then date you if they think like it's gonna be in your songs, or they just like they know that's what's coming?
That's like something that happens when we break up, is like they always are like, oh, when's the song coming out? Like, did you write the song yet? They always bring it up. But no, I'm always like, you know what you're getting into.
I agree. There was this there's this like quote that I really love that I always abide by, which says, if you didn't want people writing about you, then you should have behaved better.
Oh.
And that's on that.
And that's on that.
So, and that's how I feel. So if someone really disrespects me and I need to like let my emotions out and write about it, yeah. I will.
I love that.
Because like we've talked about it, the most beautiful art always comes out of the most painful moments.
Yeah.
So again, I was listening to the album yesterday and one of my favorite songs is Second Chances. I really love that because I can relate to it. It's basically, if you guys haven't heard it, it's basically about like when you love someone and you keep giving them chances, hello, second chances, mm-hmm. but, and they keep letting you down. So have you ever had that experience?
Yeah, I think in every relationship I've been in, it's been like second, third, fourth, fifth, and then.
Before you came, I was reading about how, which is something I had to learn for myself, that the first heartbreak I've ever had wasn't from a boy, from a boyfriend. It was my father, which is really true. Like you, when you're first young, the first man you fall in love with is your dad, obviously yeah. in a platonic way. Yeah. Like the first man you fall in love with is your father.
Anything else would be weird.
I don't know why I have to like even explain that. Like, obviously I'm assuming. With your dad and like they yeah. can always break they if they break your heart then it continues. Have you ever felt like you've lost yourself in someone else?
Yeah, I think my first relationship I definitely lost myself. I felt like that was my life. It was like I had that and I had my music, but I also had my relationship, and that was like just as important, or sometimes more important. And I was really young though. Like I got very lost in it. It was my first love. I lost my virginity to him. Like it was like my everything.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 17.
Me too.
High five for underage losing your virginity under the age of 18.
That's like pretty.
It's pretty normal. That's pretty good.
No,
actually.
No, that's like, that makes me feel like I'm a virgin. The fact that I waited till 17 to lose it. Really? All my friends lost them when they were like 13.
Yeah, I guess I do know a lot of people that lost it earlier than me. I was trying to wait till marriage.
Well, no, I was like, I'm going to marry him. Oh. Once I lost, I was like, well, that's my husband.
Right. No, we're gonna I get be that.
Like one penis for me forever. Then when I fucked my next guy, I was like, wait, they come in other sizes?
Was it a bigger size or a smaller size?
Yeah. Then I realized my first boyfriend had a really small dick. I never knew because I was like, how
you
would
thought
I know?
That was just, yeah, I get that.
So God bless. Thank God.
Yeah, I totally get that.
He broke up with me.
I was literally just talking about this with somebody that like, I feel like in my first relationship, because I lost my virginity to him and we were together for so long, I like did everything with him. Like we tried so many things, and I don't know if I'm a sex addict now, but like I definitely have high expectations of sex because of that. Because that was my very first experience. I thought that everyone was like that sexual and that extreme and that experimental, and that like that was my standard. So now it's just like I'm always like, oh, yeah. Is that what it's like? And if it's not, like, am I pretty?
I have such high sex expectations that I just don't have sex anymore because I'm like, everyone's gonna let me down. So yeah. I'm just like, I'll just do it myself. If I want the best, I'm gonna get the best with myself.
I love that. That's healthy. That's really healthy.
Yeah.
I think I'm at that point too where I'm like, if it doesn't match up to me, then I don't want it.
Do you then believe in second chances, or do you feel like by now you know better?
No, I think I know better. I have not been a person coming out of a relationship to give second chances. It's always been like I give a lot of chances in the relationship. And then, because I'm very loyal. And then once it's like you push me to my boundary, that's my limit and I can't do it anymore. But now I'm at a point where I realized that potential means nothing because you don't know if they're going to live up to potential. And you just need to meet somebody where they're at. And if that's good, then that's good. And if it's not, then move on.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest mistake us women do in general, including myself, where I date someone, I'm like, well, they have so much potential. If they just like once they find a job or like once they do this, they're going to be like amazing. And it's like, no, stop looking for potential and find, because then you're just falling in love with the potential in somebody. And then they're going to end up disappointing you.
Exactly. I had this conversation the other day when I was doing shrooms with my friends, that the world is one big locker room. Or football game, and there's the football players, and you know, They hype each other up. Dudes, all men are just football teams. And they just hype each other up and they get really like toxic masculinity and like throw themselves at things and like try to compete. But I want the fucking coach. Like, I want the guy.
Oh my God. In my head, I was like, yeah, I want to fuck all of them. And then you're just like, like, as you're talking about them, I'm just like, yes.
Girl, give me
like,
that.
I'm just thinking like in the locker room, like all of this, especially because I've dated athletes before. So I'm just like imagining that.
That's what you're
yeah, I want to fuck every single one of them. You're like, no, but then you like, you want to fuck the coach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, got
you. Want the coach. You want the coach. You want the guy who's like, at least
I do. A little
fatter,
a little chubbier.
A little older. Maybe a little bit more bald. His hairline's already receded.
But he's been through shit.
But he's been through it. He's lived through it. He's experienced it.
And you know,
so he's the one giving the, yes. And he's the one giving the,
that the coaching, the coaching.
And he's just, yeah, that's what I need.
And he's loyal because he's balding and like he has less options. So you know,
I don't know. I'm for a baldy. Like, I'm into the baldies.
You are? I need to get into that. I have
the baldies with the beards. Get into it, girl.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm trying. I feel like I've been trying to kind of maybe find a Jewish man because I'm Jewish and most of them are balding. So I guess at this point I have no choice but to give them a chance because that's most of them in their 30s. They're balding with a beard. Wow. Which is hard because normally I just fall in love with people for their hearts. So like I've usually, I've dated like every single different race. Like I literally don't have a type, I would say. But now I'm looking for like... marriage. So my brain, a part of me thinks
you're
like, oh, I should. Yeah, I can't believe I just said that.
Can't relate. So what do you have, like a personality type?
Shout out to one of our sponsors today, which is BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think you may be depressed or you're feeling anxious, stressed, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. As you know, I talk about depression and anxiety a lot on my podcast, so I think there's no shame in seeking help. There's no shame to talking about it, and I think what you need to do is to talk about it if you're feeling like there's nobody out there that can understand what you're going through. So BetterHelp, you can talk with your counselor in private online environment at your own convenience from wherever you are comfortable, whether it's the kitchen, the bathroom, the living room, since it's quarantine, wherever. BetterHelp counselors have expertise in broad ranges of areas such as anxiety, grief, depression, relationships, difficulty sleeping, LGBT matters, trauma, loss, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and so much more. BetterHelp can give you access to help that may not even be available in your area. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help you better assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with your counselor in under 48 hours. The amazing thing about it is because they have so many counselors, if you're not happy with yours, they will match you with a different one that's perfect for you. Change unlimited messages. Everything you share is also confidential. So many people have been using BetterHelp lately that they are currently even recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's how much people right now need them, and that's how much people are, how much they're there for everyone else. BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners can get 10% off of your first month with the discount code TOOTIRED. So get started today at betterhelp.com/TOOTIRED. That's TOOTIRED. And that's better. Help as in HELP.com/TOOTIRED. Talk to a therapist today and get the help that you need.
Or is it just like how they fit into your lifestyle?
I think how they fit into my lifestyle. I'm really attracted to people that are very motivated and hardworking. Like that's so attractive to me and sexy because like when somebody is really hardworking, it motivates me. And I want, and but I'm also looking for someone. Now I know that I'm looking for that person that's really loyal and that is kind of has the same views as you where it's like you're my person, I'm yours, we're each other, like it's us against the world. I feel like that's the type of partner I'm looking for, where because I just feel like I need someone by my side to help me become the best I can be, and they inspire me, they encourage me to be the best, they tone me down. So like I like a guy that doesn't talk that much. Because I talk
me too.
A lot.
Me too.
It's the truth. Like he's calm.
Yes.
Because when I get.
Because you need somebody to chill you out.
When I get mad, like I'm explosive.
Yes.
And I don't know if people care about zodiac charts and stuff, but.
You said you were never going to talk about it again, but I'm happy that you are.
But
we're
my
back.
Mars. My
this was
Mars.
The real topic of the entire podcast with zodiac signs, actually.
I kill myself. But my Mars is like how you fuck and how you argue. Mine is Aries. So I'm a Scorpio. So I'm already like. Yeah, which is why I'm so good in bed. Obviously.
Me too.
well, no, not if you're like, your Mars is like Cancer.
Mine's Aries.
Your Mars is Aries?
Yeah.
You know that for a fact? Yes. You're just saying that?
No.
It's like, oh, so you're like, I have a lot spicy, of Aries. Spicy.
I have like, yes.
You're like fire.
Fire. I have 10 houses in Aries. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So yeah. You're like a lot to handle.
Yeah.
But you're also fun. Like, I feel like that makes you fun. But like, I like consider myself fun too because I'm so unpredictable. So I need someone who's more calm than me and more organized.
Right.
And to just allow me to be my like free spirit, independent self and know that I'm just like loyal as fuck. But and like, look at me, like they're proud of me. I feel like because of what I do for a living, sometimes I get scared that somebody's gonna judge me or sometimes be embarrassed to date me. So I want somebody that's just so proud of everything I do and it makes me feel, you know, valued.
Especially like dating outside of the industry too is like a little scary. Like, cause you want somebody who like does their own thing and is like independent, like you said, and like really hardworking. And if that's outside of the industry, then they might judge you for what you do. Like,
exactly.
That's, yeah, I get that. It's really scary.
So, okay. So I feel like I've talked about this with friends before that, you know, you're in trouble when you stop telling your friends about you getting back, you getting together with your ex because it gets embarrassing at one point. So have you ever had that one ex where the dick was just like so bombed or you're just so addicted to like how toxic it is and you just stop telling your friends, you just like, you know, you stop sharing your location so they don't know you're fucking your ex again and then you just keep fucking him. Like, have you had that one person?
That sounds really personal.
Yeah, I've done it.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
No, I've actually never fucked an ex.
What?
Yeah, I've wanted to, but I've never actually done it. I've made out with an ex before.
Your most popular song is literally called X.
I know, because I didn't want to be his ex, but he was also not with me at that moment. He was in another country.
Oh, I get it. So basically, it's because you said you give people chances. So it's basically while you're still together. But have you ever had that one person that you dated that all your friends at this point are like, dude, he's trash. Break up with him.
Yeah.
And you keep talking to him. So at one point, you just stop telling your friends about him.
Yeah, I did that. I did that recently.
Uh-huh.
But I also got to a point recently where I was like, I definitely don't want to go back to him.
What?
After
what
I made out with him.
Oh. Okay, what was the breaking point? Was it his tongue?
No, his tongue was nice. No, it was more like I just wanted to. Okay, I'm just gonna tell the story. Oh no, I always get myself in trouble because I get too detailed, but I'm sorry. Okay, so basically, I wanted to, like, I was holding on to this person and, like, wanting to get back together with them so badly. And I wanted them to just show up at my door and be like, I want you back. Oh, my God. Like, this, you're for me. I don't know what I was thinking before. And I broke up with him. But, like, and then it became, like, a mutual thing. But I wanted him to be like, oh, my God, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, why would I let you go? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like a fantasy, like a fairy tale.
I do that every time, yeah.
So I really wanted that. And he wasn't giving that to me. And then I was like, I'm just gonna like, we're gonna be friends and like, it's gonna be cool and whatever. Like, I can do this. I can just be friends with him. And then I went to go give him some of his stuff and then we ended up making out. And then when I did shrooms, actually, I was like, I came up with the coach thing and I was like, he's not a coach. He's a great guy, like a really great guy. Great in bed for anybody that dates him next. But and his tongue is great. But I just wanted I wanted a coach and like he's just not a coach. I was his first girlfriend ever and he needed to do some learning. So and then we were gonna hang out.
For what?
We were gonna hang out because we were still trying to be friends, because especially during quarantine, it's like really hard to just be like alone.
Okay, you know?
So he was like, oh, well, I don't even know if this should be in there, but he was like, oh, well, let's fuck. And I was like, no, that's a hot one. I just had a psychic ability and I said, oh, he definitely wants to fuck. So I said, before we hang out, I just want to set some boundaries and some ground rules that were just on friendship basis. And then he was like,
let's not.
So
hang
no
out.
Sex? Okay. And I was like, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. That's not happening. And then he said something that was very like ego rather than being like, I just miss fucking you or I miss being with you. It was like very about him. And that's when I was like, I don't want to be your toy. Like, I don't want to be your toy. I don't want to be your toy. I want you to want to fuck me, not just like anything and I'm just there.
Yeah. I think he was probably confused.
Yeah. Or just like really horny.
That's why exes, I feel like it's a really weird thing and it becomes like a really gray area and it makes it hard. Like, are we friends? Are we not? Like, do we still have feelings for each other? There's always somebody that's being led on accident.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that expects more from the friendship.
Yeah.
In the end. So I think sometimes it's good to just have a clean break for a little bit, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Just need that little space.
Yeah. And just fuck yourself.
I love fucking myself. I'm really good at it.
You are?
Yeah.
How often do you masturbate?
Probably once a day.
I feel like I haven't had the chance. Sometimes I feel like recently I haven't even been horny. When I masturbate, it's just like part of my schedule. Like, oh, okay, I'm about to go to bed. I'll just masturbate really quick. And then I'll like keep writing some notes that I need to write.
Oh.
Or I'll pass out. Usually I pass out. You're right. I do pass out after I masturbate. Yeah. But like, so I feel like it's part of my schedule and I hate that because I'm like, I'm not even thinking about anything. It's just like a routine thing. It's not even fun. And I feel like orgasms, they come in different like ways too.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it's just like a release thing. Yeah. Sometimes it's like I'm really horny. Most of the time it's just because I'm really
horny.
Have
you ever cried while masturbating?
No. Are you okay?
I'm so fine.
Do you need me to give you my therapist number? Because I will.
No,
if I, sometimes masturbation, thinking about it, like does make me sad, but then I just don't.
I feel like I'm so weird with like the fact that like I love talking about masturbating and like I love masturbating too, but I always get so grossed out right after. It's like, cause sometimes if I watch something specific really quick while I'm masturbating and I have like all these thoughts and I'm so turned on and then I come and suddenly I'm just like, yeah, what the fuck am I watching?
Right,
this is so disgusting.
Right.
And I just like pretend it's not happening.
What is that called? So they call that something.
Where you just grossed
out. Like clarity. Out. Like you're like, you just like, you
feel shame. I feel shame or something about what I just did, even though I like I'm an adult and I live alone.
Yeah,
no one can find out except my cat who watches me do it, which is weird. She's right there. She's looking.
Oh,
she's
hey.
Like, I know what you're doing every night.
I don't think you should feel shame unless you're watching something disgusting.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the dumbest thing you've ever done for love?
Trust.
That's so funny.
Wow. Yeah.
Relatable.
I have trust issues, if you can't tell.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the dumbest thing.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing ever does is trust a man.
Would you say you're a petty ex?
I can be. Like, I definitely have, yeah, I'm not a petty girlfriend, but I'm a petty ex.
What's the pettiest thing you've ever done after a breakup?
Written a song about it.
That's
and it,
it
became like a
song. Oh, that's funny. But you didn't mention their names.
No, I didn't, but I might as well have. Because they have a lot, like, now I'm giving a lot of details. Like, this person definitely knows I'm talking about them, and aww, people know who this is.
Okay, so that's the pettiest thing you've ever done? Because one of your songs, you're literally like, I'm trash your whole apartment, and I threw your shit out.
I did something like that with somebody. When my ex cheated on me, I took everything that he ever gave me, anything we bought together, and anything that was his in the apartment that I moved us into for us. I took everything and I threw away a lot of it so that he could never get it back. And then I also gave it to his friend to put in a storage unit so that it was out of my apartment.
But still, he could get out
of
the
storage. And I burned a lot
unit.
Of shit.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. You burned a lot of shit.
I burned a lot of stuff because I'm an Aries. It's fire. Back to the Zodiacs.
So when you burned a lot of shit, did you at least try to make sure it's like in a, like not in a fire hazard place? Like you made sure it's like in a trash can or something?
No, I was psychotic. Yeah.
It was in your own apartment?
Yes. And then I put everything in garbage bags specifically so that he would know that he was trash.
Did you only need for him to cheat on you once for you to kick him out? Or have you forgiven a cheater before?
No, I've never forgiven a cheater. That's like the one, it's like being a Trump supporter, cheating. those are like my really only two things. Like my only two deal breakers. Or like if you hit me.
I would hope so, yeah.
But I've also been in that situation where it's like almost happened and I just let it go because I was really stupid back then.
Well, I don't think you should call yourself stupid for something like that. I think when we put in situations like that, it just throws us off. A lot of situations that you get in, that you assume in your brain, like, oh, I'm gonna be such a bad bitch and I would tell this person off. When you're in the situation, you freeze, or your brain tells you, it's my fault. Like, I must have was asking for it somehow. So I don't want you to think that you're stupid for that. I don't want anyone else that's listening to blame themselves for any situation that they didn't react the way they thought they should have.
That's just very true.
Be proud of yourself that you even experienced that situation. You came out of it.
That's very true. Stupid is definitely the wrong word, because I've been in a lot of situations where I didn't act the way that I thought I would. Even still, I deal with certain situations where I thought I have been raped multiple times, and I thought that I would be that person that would like go to the police and like talk about it on Twitter and like do all the like valiant things that that people say that you should do. But yeah. I haven't done half of those things. And I'm somebody who stands up and advocates for people all the time. So like, I don't know, but it is much harder to advocate for yourself than for other people.
That's very true. You're so right. I mean, even, yeah, like us having this conversation, because you just expect, like, I'm your voice for other people. So you expect yourself to always be strong because you're a voice for other people, but it's not the same. Plus, like, a lot of these situations we end up in as a woman, they're not always so black and white. They can be gray. Hey guys, want to introduce you to Candid. You know those things we'd love to do for ourselves but haven't done it for whatever reason? Well, if you've always wanted straighter teeth and a better smile, stop putting it off. Thanks to Candid, straightening your teeth is simpler, easier, and more comfortable than ever. Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and practically invisible, unlike wire braces. So you can transform your smile today without anyone even noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. And it's all done from the comfort and convenience of your home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, your treatments include remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you'll never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know, and I love that. The average Candid treatment is actually only 6 months, and you're probably going to start seeing results way before then. And it also costs thousands less dollars than braces. So start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all my listeners can save $75 on Candid Starter Kit. Go to candidco.com/violet and use Violet. That's candidco.com/violet, code Violet, aka my name. Take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. candidco.com/violet with code Violet. Why not have the perfect smile that you always wanted? Join me and keep smiling for the rest of your life and check out Candid. I've been in a situation where somebody was threatening me. This man that was supposed to work for his brand, clothing brand, tried to like film getting handsy with me, or like it was really inappropriate, so weird. And I freaked out and I walked away. And then he was like on drugs and he was some party, and he came in my face, starts yelling at me. And I just assumed in my brain, if anyone ever came in my face and like tried to like hit me, or
that you would
put
hit them.
His fingers off my vagina on or whatever, I thought like I would hit them. Mm. And I pop off so easily, and I froze, and like he's yelling at me and no one's doing anything. And I just froze, and I just bolted out of the party, and I went and I got an Uber and I went home, and I was just silent in the Uber, and I started crying because I was just like, I was blaming myself. I was like, I can't believe like, what did I do wrong? Like, why did I make this person react this way with me? And then I was angry at myself that I didn't hit him.
Right.
Because I was just like, I'm so fucking weak. And I remember when I talked about it with my mom and my sister, they were like, I'm so proud of you that you didn't raise your hands, because who knows how he would have reacted, because he's on drugs, if he would have hit you back or whatever.
Yeah. And that is, I'm sorry that happened to you. But that's also another thing that it's not talked about enough. Like, people always like question the victim. They always say like, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Because we're scared, because it's like, you don't know what the person's going to do next. You don't know if you're going to get away. You don't know what, like you said, what that person's going to do. So that fear, even if you could have hit him and he wouldn't, blah, 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 whatever, that fear is enough to be like traumatizing within itself.
But anyway, forget about me. I'm fine.
Again, my therapist number will be sent to you after this podcast. No, I totally feel you. I mean, this is not something that I've ever talked about publicly, but I would love to talk about it. When I was like 15 to 17, I had a producer who was 28 years old who was sexting me, and I hadn't ever had sex. Like, I didn't really know what was happening. But the reason that, or his reasoning for I'm sorry. The way that he placed blame on me was by telling me that he was attracted to me because I walked in wearing shorts to my session. And what you said just reminded me of that, because I constantly put blame on myself, saying like, oh, well, maybe my butt cheeks were showing a little too much because of like dress codes at school. Because dress codes always like told you like only like three finger straps and like your shorts have to go by your knees and like whatever. And that teaches us from such a young age. And I was at that age where dress code was still applying to me. I was going to high school. So the fact that he used that against me to say that it was my fault, why he was so attracted to me, and he knew it was wrong, but he was just attracted to me, was like so fucked up. But I definitely put blame on myself. So the next time I saw him, because I really wanted to work with him because he gained my trust and he was grooming me, the next time I saw him, I wore like a dress, and he still said what he had to say. He still was like creepy as fuck. And it was just like, I tried, even after placing the blame and trying to like do what I could to like help the situation, not to like prevent the situation, it still happened. So I mean, it doesn't really matter what you're wearing. They're going to try to say shit to blame you anyway.
Literally, yeah. No, it's crazy in Hollywood. Like, it's just so weird. I've had, when I first started daddy issues, like this one guy that wanted to be my manager. And then he started to text me really late at night. And I finally was like, dude, you know, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. I can't tell if you were trying to manage me or you're trying to go out with me. And it's starting to make me uncomfortable. And he was like, Violetta, this is how this business works. Like, if you're trying to move ahead, this is the kind of things you're supposed to be okay with. Like, stop being such a baby. You're being a child right now. And then I was like, I've achieved everything in my life, because I have very immigrant mentality. I was like, I've achieved everything in my life on my own. Mm. I will not now need a man to help me with something.
Right.
I'm good. Or man or woman in general. And I was like, I'm good. And I clearly did just fine with my career without him. And he's so beneath me. And then I saw him years later at some party. Because I just like never saw him again. I saw him years later at some party, and he was with some woman, and he like approached me and tried to be nice. And I remember I froze, because I was just like, you disgusting fucking pig.
Yeah.
And you just pretend like everything was fine. So then you get confused and you have to pretend like everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. But like, you know, it's fine. No, it's not fine. But I'm just saying, I know better. And I'm so sorry for anyone out there that's listening if anything similar happened to them. But I feel like in general, us women, we have so many of these stories. Mm-hmm. It's almost shocking at this point. Mm-hmm. And it almost becomes too normalized. Every single one of my friends has had a situation when they were younger where they were
harassed. By someone.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Yeah. Like your stories about being the R word. Have you ever talked about it before?
Yeah. I was open about it on Instagram, because I'm one of those people that like, I don't know, people is my real passion. And like, if I can, the reason I make music is to help people feel better or feel that emotion that they're feeling and be okay with feeling that emotion. So I like to share my personal stories for anybody, because I feel like if I don't share it, then I'm wasting it. Like, then it was a waste of an experience because I'm not using it to help anybody. So I shared that I was raped, and it was exactly a year to the day after I was raped. And it was the first time I talked about it with my therapist. And I just wanted to share that to like let people know that there's like not really a right way to go about it. And that as long as you're seeking help and you're doing the things that it takes for you to be better, then that's all you really can do. And I think the biggest guilt that I still carry that I'm like trying to work through, because it shouldn't be put all on me, is that like I don't want other women to go through what I went through with that person because I didn't report him, or because I didn't, you know, like I feel a lot of guilt, and I carry that around because I want to fix things and I want to fix people in the world. And I just can't really, I can't carry that around. Like all I can do is like really do what's best for me, and I have to fix myself first, and that way I can use that to help people. I'm still struggling with it, obviously.
No, you're doing great. And I love that, because I agree with that. I mean, my mom told me that before. She was just like, she always tells me sometimes, like, your mental health should always come first, because you will not be able to help other people if you're not okay first. And I agree with that. And you also, you can't expect yourself to be perfect. And I think the real fans or people that listen to your music, the reason they can relate to you is because you talk about your flaws. So I think it's a losing game if you are just going to play where you're just always going to blame yourself for not doing something right, because there's no right answer.
Yeah, that's so true.
Would you say you're somebody that holds grudges, or do you just let it go like your song moving?
I try not to be a person that holds grudges, but I definitely do. It's more of like a noted kind of thing. It's like a, I'm going to remember that, but like, you know, just don't do anything like that again, because if you do, it's done.
I'm like that too. Are you like an all or nothing type of gal? I feel like you are at this point.
I definitely am. I'm trying to be less. Like, I literally just talked to my therapist this morning about black and white, and she said sometimes there's gray and you just have to be okay with the gray. And like, I'm trying to really be more present in that and more accepting of that, but it's very difficult for me.
What's your biggest fear when it comes to love?
I mean, I have a lot of fears when it comes to love. I have a fear of love, so we'll just start there.
Yeah.
I have a fear of love because I fear losing it, because I am a very like all or nothing person. So like, I don't want to get really deep into something and give my all to something that I'm just going to lose out on, because I've lost out on a lot of things when it comes to love, starting from like a very young age, obviously. So I don't know. I fear just love, because I fear losing it. I fear trusting somebody and looking stupid, because I've been cheated on, and I've been like, I don't know. I don't like to look stupid. I like to know all the facts. I like to know what everybody's thinking and go from there. And when I feel like a joke is being played on me, or I'm being manipulated, or I'm not getting the full story of something, it makes me feel stupid. And I just don't like that. So,
and then you're just hard on yourself because you're supposed to be perfect. And, it's and like, you're well, supposed to be the person that knows. Better.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it's so instead of being about the person who hurt you and like they suck, it's more like, well, why didn't I see it? What's wrong with me that I couldn't see this person's a piece of shit?
Right. Why didn't I trust my instinct?
Like, I'm an idiot versus being like, no, that person sucks because they tricked you.
Yeah, exactly.
I can relate. That's really hard. I feel like that's really touching. I feel like I've never been able to put that into words about my biggest fear when it comes to love, because for me it's, I guess, being people abandoning me.
Yeah.
But I think the way you describe it, it's way more poetic and beautiful, about that you fear actual love because then you fear of losing it, because I think I can relate to that. I'm sure everyone listening can relate to that too. That makes so much sense. When do you think you'll be able to not fear that? Like, do you think it starts with yourself then?
It's weird, because it's like, how do you learn something until you're doing it? Like, I only learn from experience. And like, I think, unfortunately, my only experiences with it have been bad. And so I have this expectation that it's just going to be bad. Like, it's always going to turn out bad. It's always not going to work. It's always going to like fall through. The person's always going to turn out to be somebody else than I thought they were. And I love myself, but I think it's about somebody proving to me otherwise. Like, I think it's about somebody showing me that it's not, that it's, my expectation isn't the truth.
Okay, well,
but I haven't had that yet.
I recently read something, our thoughts create reality. So when we're constantly, that's why a lot of times you're so scared of being cheated on, you end up dating someone that cheats on you, and then you're like, of course that happens to me. And that's because subconsciously we're genuinely attracting the things we fear the most. And that's what ends up coming our way. So when you're so scared of somebody letting you go, you're subconsciously manifesting it. And that's why you end up attracting those specific people you're most scared of. So I think, and I've learned that, and I'm still learning, that it starts with you. You have to start changing your mindset slowly. And once you believe that you deserve the type of love that you want, and that you're going to get that type of love because you deserve it, then you're going to start to attract those specific people.
I did realize that, and I have been trying to like manifest that coach and manifest those things, like whenever it's ready, whenever the universe or God or whatever you want to call it is ready to give it to me. But knowing that that is going to be like what's meant for me in that moment, which is why I posted this Instagram post yesterday that said, I am deserving of what comes to me because it was meant for me. And it's just whatever is in that moment was meant for me, and being okay with that. And I guess it's also being okay with the gray, which is what we're talking about
too. Yeah, and I think sometimes you're meant to learn a lot of different lessons, and that's why you at first, because sometimes I realized at one point I was attracting a lot of the same men. It was just, different bodies, but the same person. And it was because I was meant to learn something from it and I wasn't learning it. So I kept dating the same guy without realizing.
Exactly.
And I feel like once I learned it, those type of men stopped coming my way. Quick shout out to another one of our sponsors today, which is Ship App. As you know, cuffing season is coming up, and with quarantine already happening, there's nothing worse than being alone during quarantine and cuffing season. So if you are terrible at dating and make terrible decisions like me, what better way than to have your friends do it for you? Maybe finally you won't be single anymore, which is why I would love to recommend this new dating app that I've been trying lately called Ship. That's S-H-I-P. Ship is different because you can invite your friends to swipe on guys for you. You don't need to make a profile or anything like that. You can just join your friend's crew and start swiping. So it's really cool. You and your friends can just have a ton of fun on Ship. The best part, if you're not single, you can still join Ship and you can help your friends out. One of the fun things about Ship is that there's a group chat with your crew. So if you suck at starting conversations with guys, which by the way, can't relate, but sucks for you, then your friends can just start for you or tell you what to say on the app. There's also this really cool activity feed where you can see how your friend is swiping. And if they are being way too picky or not picky enough, you can totally call them out on it. So it's basically like stalking your BFF without leaving your house, which I love. So download Ship, the app, that's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store to start swiping today. Like, I feel like now at this point, it's so weird, but all these men are coming my way and they're all chasing me. And it's one of the first times where I know that, like, I feel like a lot of times someone comes my way and I'm like, okay, you'll do, let's say. And I don't even, I realize I didn't even vet them anymore. I just was so desperate to be loved. So I realized like, okay, V, you need to have standards.
Yeah.
And like, once I realize I have standards, I'm like, I love myself. So of course anyone's going to come my way is going to love me.
Right.
And why would they leave me? I wouldn't leave me. And I think I started to attract men who didn't want to leave me recently. But the problem was that now I have my eyes open. And because I'm not so desperate to be loved by them, I can actually see things that I don't like in them. And this time it's not about potential. So this time I'm not going to be like, well, I'm sure they'll change their ways.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not good enough for me. I deserve more than that. And you're great, just not good, great enough for me, and I'm gonna keep going because a man would have done the same thing to me. So it's time for me to finally decide what I deserve and what I want. And that's what I feel like every man recently, like, I've let them go because I just want something else, and that's okay.
That's really honest of you to say, and like, really wow, that's really cool of you to be so honest about that, because I feel like we're sometimes not honest with ourselves about that, about like wanting to be loved so bad that it's just, you just take whatever comes your way. But that's very true.
You're so right about that. But I feel like you have to be honest with yourself and you have to say these things out loud in order for it to finally be in your brain. Because I've been afraid for so long to admit, I just want to be loved.
Right.
Or like, I do want a long time partner. But it's like, if I'm not saying it, how the fuck would anyone know that's what I want?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And also like knowing that, thinking, is that person deserving of me, rather than letting your anxiety get to you and be like, am I pretty enough? Am I this? Am I too much? Am I too this? Am I too independent? Am I too scared? Am I too dependent? Am I too... Taking a step back and taking a breath and being like, is this person deserving of me? What can this person offer to my lifestyle? What can this person offer to my life?
Literally. That happened to me a while back with this guy that I was dating that like, we had this amazing night. We've been dating for a minute, literally. Barely any time, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, but we're seeing each other a lot. And then afterwards, we had this like one amazing night. And then the next day, he was already getting all insecure and it was adding girls on Instagram. My brain was like, well, I guess we're not like official, and so it's okay, blah, blah, even though that's not okay for me.
Yeah.
But I can't even admit that because I'm like, oh, it's fine, whatever. And then in my brain, I was just like, okay, what do I need to do to make him like commit to me?
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, hold back, V. Do you even want him as your boyfriend? Is he even good enough for you?
Right.
And I was like, wait, okay, he doesn't have a job. He's broke as fuck. He has only been in very toxic relationships. He's never had a serious girlfriend. Suddenly I'm like lining all this stuff up. And then I'm like, okay, so chill the fuck out. Who cares if he's adding other girls? You know what? Let him. Let him go find someone else that's more on his level.
Yep.
And we stopped talking.
Yes. I love that. That literally happened to me recently too, where I was just like, because it was the same thing. They were like liking other girls' pictures on Instagram, following other girls, and they were doing that in our relationship too. And then once we got out and I seen that they were still doing that, I was like, that's never gonna change. That is what has been happening. And now I'm just like more insecure about where I sit with that person. So it's like shining even brighter. Like that, there's like a spotlight on those things. And that's not something that I'm okay with.
Yeah.
And instead of being like, why am I not the cool girl? Why can't I just be cool about it? Why can't I just, he wants you, like blah, 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 blah. Like, no, it's okay if that's not cool.
It's okay if something makes you insecure. But I've dated guys where I didn't even notice if they were liking pictures or not, because they made our relationship feel so secure and they made me feel so good.
And they reassured you.
Yes. That it didn't even matter. It's only when I feel my lowest and the most insecure when I suddenly start to look around and to notice. And that's when I find things.
Right.
You only find things when you're really looking.
Yep. That's so true.
But I mean, it's okay to have boundaries and it's okay to not be okay with certain things. Like, you shouldn't feel ashamed of it. Like, some girls don't like when their man watches porn. I don't care about it, but some girls care about it. Mm. If that's your thing, then explain the boundaries to the person before you start dating. I've learned now that in order for me to get what I want, I have to ask for it.
Yeah.
Whether it's my job, whether it's my friends, whether it's my dad, or whether it's the man that I'm dating, because no one can read my mind anymore.
Mm.
So I can't be passive aggressive and tell somebody like, oh, so why don't you go talk to your other girlfriends?
Right. Because
they don't know what men don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be like, hey, that really hurts my feelings. I feel like you're not paying enough attention to me, and it makes me feel like I don't matter to you.
Right.
What's happening? And then they'll be like, I'm so sorry you feel that way. And then we can have a conversation.
Yeah. And it's that communication that is, like you were saying, like if that, because that was literally something that I was dealing with. Like, if that was solid, if we were solid, if the foundation was solid and the communication was solid, the other stuff wouldn't bother me. Because it was like, we're set. Why am I freaking out? But it's like when the foundation and the communication is crumbling, then the world seems like it's over.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm so learning now, is that sometimes I'm so passionate and I rush into things.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that person's changing, or that person's acting different. It's like, no, you're actually getting to know the real person. Because your hormones are fading now. And so a lot of the time we don't even focus on having a foundation with a person before we get into bed with them, or before we rush into a relationship with them. And then when you're already dating them, you're like, wait, I don't actually know this person.
Right.
So that's why, and then that's why it's the same way. If when you rush into a relationship, it fizzles out the same speed because you didn't actually know each other.
Yeah.
So I'm like realizing all that now and like working on all that.
I love that. Self-growth.
Yeah. But one trick that I always do if a girl makes me insecure, I become their friend.
I do that too. So that is literally, I don't know if you heard Crazy.
Oh.
The song Crazy.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, okay, cool. No, I know I'm crazy. Go on.
No, the song Crazy, that is my second verse in that is like a real
thing. Oh, no, I've heard Crazy. Yeah.
Okay, your song, yeah. What did I say?
Fucked up and she show up, but you made decisions, had to go with it. I'm going to make friends so we could talk about it. And there will be nothing you can do about it. I really did that with somebody.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I really did that. Because it's not the girl. Like, the girl is not the issue. The guy is the issue. I always think it's so confusing when
a girl gets mad at another girl.
It's not the other girl.
It's not the other girl. It's your dude and your situation.
So yeah, okay, I'm like that too. So yeah, if I'm dating somebody and they're close with some girl, whether it's their ex or a female, I will become friends with her. And I do the same thing with my best guy friends. Mm-hmm. When they get a girlfriend, I make sure to
that they're comfortable.
Yeah, I make sure to be good friends with that girl.
Mm-hmm.
So they can feel like there's literally nothing going on. Because like, I have these two guy friends who are like my BFFs since I was like for like over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've slept in their houses and their beds and all that. So never have I hooked up with either one of them though.
Right.
So every time they've had a girlfriend, like, I make sure to be around them and talk about their guys too.
Right.
So they just know like that's like my my brother.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So if only other girls were as like nice as me and really cared.
Okay. If only other girls were you.
If only other girls were me. If only every man just only dated me.
Yes.
Okay, so recording an album, writing about your feelings, all that takes a lot of guts and confidence. So what advice do you have for other girls out there to be comfortable in their own skin and with being vulnerable?
I think everybody has a different way of like being vulnerable and like being comfortable with being vulnerable. For me, like, I only feel comfortable when I'm being vulnerable, because then I feel like it's my power to give. Like, it's my story to tell, and you won't find that out about me. I'm going to tell you. It's like leaking your own nudes. Like, I would leak my own nudes before anybody else leaked my nudes.
Well, because that's because you're a control freak, and so am I. I would do that too.
Yes.
Like, as long as I'm in charge.
Yes. I want to give you that story so that you don't use that story against me by finding it out from somebody else and then manipulating me. Like, that's my fear. That's my anxiety. So I'm vulnerable out of strength, like out of like power. And yeah, that's just me though. Like, everybody's different. But I think being comfortable in your own skin, I mean, that's just something that you grow into and you never really figure out. You're never 100%. Like, I really don't think you're 100%. And that's why that's something that I'm actually thinking about now, like being single and being pretty comfortable with myself, thinking like, am I gonna date? Like, I don't know if I'm ready to date somebody, but like, am I ever going to really be ready? Because that ready sounds like you have to be 100% to be with somebody.
People and you're don't never realize gonna be 100%. You're never going to be ready.
You're never. And somebody should, you should have a partner, whether that's a friend, a romantic partner, like whatever it is, to have somebody to help you like see the beauty in you when you're failing or when you're looking down on yourself or when it's nice to do that for yourself and also have somebody to be like,
you know, I think it's really beautiful that you stated that your vulnerability is your strength. Because I feel like I'm just now learning that. And I'm sure a lot of people also don't realize that yet, or they're learning that, because I think I constantly yearn. I keep vulnerability to myself. And then I feel like I was always constantly yearning then for a partner that I can finally unload my vulnerability on. And that's why it'd be so hard for me to like let that person go, or I would find the wrong people just so I can spill my stuff on. And what you just said, where you just find a partner, whether it's a friend, all that, it's 100% true. And I think it's the best advice for other people out there. Your vulnerability is your strength. So that's why you have to unload it on your friends and other people. So then you don't end up depending on this one person to be your all. And that's how you're able then to have a healthy relationship, or that's how you're able to find like a real person versus just needing to be loved so bad and needing to talk about your feelings so bad that you're like, okay, you'll do. So I think that's how you're going to be on the right pathway then to find like your person, or like the right person, or a healthy relationship for
100%. I think also something that we get stuck in is like, I mean, at least me, I can't really speak for everyone, but for me, I get nervous that I am just like burdening people with all my information, because I'm so like, I will just give every detail and I'm so willing to talk. But then I get in my head afterwards every time, kind of like how you were saying about like how you feel shame after masturbating. I feel shame after like spilling all my fucking emotional secrets. Like, I'm like, shit, should I not have said that? Should I not have
talked? That's so normal.
It's so normal, but I didn't realize that. And I put a lot of guilt on myself and like pressure on myself, or like I just made myself feel bad for like being open about things. And that's what led me to like a pretty suicidal episode like 2 weeks ago. Because I was like,
can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So basically, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I've dealt with anxiety and depression my entire life. It's something that I talk about a lot in my music, and just like in interviews and podcasts and whatever. I'm very open about it. I've dealt with depression. I've always been like a person who's like very up and down, very black and white, very extreme. And this most recent depressive episode I had, I just felt very alone. And it was like, even if I didn't want to talk to people because I didn't want to unload myself on everybody that loved me, because I just felt like right now is such an extreme time. Like right now there's so much going on. Like, why does everybody need me? No one needs me to like unload even my shit on them. And I also like put a lot of pressure on myself to fix the world and be that person who is vulnerable out of strength and also is like, no, but I got it. Like, I'm good and I'm gonna keep pushing, and like, I got you if you need me.
Yeah.
And so I just felt very alone. And like, even if I were to talk to people, I would just feel embarrassed or like ashamed of how I felt. And it led me to like isolate myself emotionally. And even if I was talking to people, I would like pretend like that was all I needed to talk about, even if there was like even deeper level shit. And so there was just moments where, and I also, sorry, another thing is I felt very weak because I was looking to like my ex, who was one person who was like really there for me. Like, when he was there for me, he was very comforting and like it felt good to talk to him. And I didn't want to like rely on him because we weren't together anymore. And I didn't want to like be weak. I wanted to just have it on my own. So it led me to like a night where I was just, it was a couple nights in a row, and then the third night was just like really, really bad, and I felt very alone. I ended up calling the suicide hotline and talking to somebody on the hotline, and they really like calmed me down a lot. But as soon as I got off the phone, it was just like everything that I was feeling that I like was kind of like pushing down while I was talking to him, like came back out. And I started to have a really bad panic attack, and I couldn't move, and I couldn't get out of bed. My whole body froze. It was like it took everything in me just to get up and or like sit up or breathe or like do anything. And I just got so trapped in my head. And I was able to call Jasmine, one of like my best girlfriends and one of my managers, and she just kind of like coached me through it and was like, if you can't move, we have to call the ambulance. So I need you to move. Like, please just try to move. And she came and she called my ex, and my ex came, and like they were really there for me. But even then, like, I felt so embarrassed when they got there, you know, like I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm so fucking weak. Like, what is wrong with me? I want to be the person who like can just snap out of it and like be okay, you know? But it was just really hard for me in that moment. But then, you know, after, like, especially when my ex came and like he stayed and like was there for me, he said something, which is why I will forever be grateful for him. And he's an amazing guy. He was like, I know that you're Superwoman, but even Superwoman is only one person. And that is like something that I will carry forever, you know, and remember is that like you need people sometimes. You need people, and that's okay. Yeah. And I think we've been, as women, and especially as Black women, like we've been made to feel like it's us against the world, and like nobody will ever have our backs because we've had to do a lot of fighting for ourselves, and we do fighting for our community, and we do fighting for our world. And I think every woman, and especially women of color, can understand that, you know? And it was something that I talked to my therapist about. Like, yeah. Do I need to do this on my own? Do I need to feel bad for this? And she explained to me, like, it's okay to need people. No matter what box they fit in or what role they play in your life, it's okay to need people. Humans are meant to be an animal of community. Like, we are meant to rely. Community has different roles. If you look at the history of people, we've had tribes, we've had people who have had certain roles, and you're not meant to just do all the roles for yourself. That is not what we are scientifically even meant to be capable of. We're not capable of. So knowing that it's actually physically impossible, knowing that I'm not weak for not being able to be Superwoman and Superman and whoever else, knowing I can just be Superwoman and that's okay, made me feel a little less weak.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I really appreciate that. That shows how strong you are. Second of all, I'm really proud of you for calling a suicide hotline, because that was like an amazing step. And there is something really, for some reason, relieving about talking to a stranger sometimes about your pain, because you're so embarrassed to admit that the people that you love, that you just don't have it all together. And there's something about just talking to a stranger that you just don't feel judged. And yes, thank God for those hotlines. And I'm proud of you for calling one. And then I'm proud of you and I think the reason you ended up having that episode afterwards was because it was all your emotions unloading at once. And that's where your body was like shaking with all the emotions and that you were meant to go through. Yeah. And I'm also proud of you for finally then calling your friend and your ex to help you and for being strong enough to talk about it right now. Thanks. I mean, how like you're so strong for discussing all of that, and I agree with you all that. And I think that's really amazing what your ex-boyfriend said to you. My mom has had something similar to me that has helped me through, when she's like, you can't be strong for everyone else. Like, sometimes you have to be there for yourself. And I agree. And she said, you can't, I forget, I think it was like last year, I don't know if I've talked about my podcast, but last year when I was kind of hit rock bottom mentally again, and suddenly I start to have suicidal thoughts and things like that, and I talked to my friends, and when I loaded on my friends, it was the first time I was just like, I do need people.
Right.
And it was because you can't be strong for other people all the time. Sometimes it's okay to let other people be strong for you.
Yeah.
And I learned that last year. And like last year, when I start to let people in, I learned how much easier life gets when you don't hold everything in your heart. Because like after a while, and a great analogy for this would be that if For example, if you're carrying a backpack, let's say, in school with books, and you keep putting more and more books in there and you never take any of them out, it's going to be really hard to carry that backpack.
Right.
You have to unload some of those books. And it's the same thing with your emotional stuff and with your heart. No, not even Superman can hold that back. Or like, not even the strongest person in the world can hold that backpack if you just keep putting bricks in there and you're not taking anything out. You have to unload. The same thing with your emotional self and your heart. You can't harbor all this hate and frustration and emotions, and it's going to eat you up and you're not going to be able to move.
Right.
That's what happened to your body. You can't move anymore and you have to unload. And that's when you finally unload, like, your body felt free. And I even started doing this thing a while back where I started to try to understand where I feel something, where I feel it physically in my body, to connect it to that. And one time I was like, when I finally let go of, like, when I was harboring emotions, my mom is my savior. Like, I always talk to her about a lot of things. So when I was talking to my mom about something, I felt like it leaving my heart. And then I felt like this, like, tension in my shoulder, and it literally was moving through my arm. Like, I could feel this anger and pettiness and frustration just, like, leaving, exiting my body once I unload it. And I think for me, I guess connecting to my body has helped me then feel like it's in, like, it's actually a real thing where you can just, like, let it go. Like, it's like bricks that I'm just throwing out.
Yeah. And it does like manifest into, like, a physical thing. I totally know what you're saying. When I find myself in, like, an anxious, ruminating train of thought, then I'm like, I just take a deep breath and I try to focus on something in my surroundings, like in my immediate surroundings. And then I can just feel that, like, lifting. Like, I harbor it a lot here. Like,
which is a great advice for anxiety, by the way. It's a real method for people to do. If you're getting a panic attack or anxiety, one of the ways for you to try to release it is by focusing on something in your room and just, like, looking at that. And that really helps.
But
for me, when I connect it to my body, then I'm in my brain, I'm like, oh, I'm in control now.
Right.
It's not in control of me. And I can allow it to exit my body.
Right.
So then I'm always like, where's my anger? Okay, it's in my stomach.
Right.
Now it's going up here. Okay, because now I'm hurt. I'm hurting because anger is not a real emotion. It's coming from pain. Okay, I'm in pain. It's right here. I need to let this pain go. Like, I can't hold on to it. It's not mine anymore. I need to let it go. And I release it and then just exits my body.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
That is so beautiful.
I'm very poetic.
You are, though. But that's interesting what you said about letting people be there for you, and, like, how hard it is to allow somebody. And I think that's something that people with abandonment issues people with abandonment issues struggle with, is, like, allowing, which is the same thing that we were talking about with love, like, allowing somebody to be there for you is really hard because you don't want to, like, allow them to disappoint you or, like, not be there.
And then I'm like,
you give them the opportunity to not be there when you allow them to be there for
you. Because then it's like, next time, what if I depend on them, they won't be there for me, and then I'll be so disappointed. And then, like, what was I thinking? Or what if they hold it against me?
Yes, exactly.
But people and then who, it's like, love you won't do that to you.
Right. I haven't figured that out yet, though.
I'm learning that too.
Okay, let me know when you get there, and then, like, I'll catch up.
But also, you have no idea, like, I always, like, listeners, when they, like, let me know some of the conversations they hear, and they're like, I feel like I'm talking to my friends, and it was so healing. And I sometimes don't fully understand, because I'm like, oh, but you weren't even in the room. And but, like, I get it now. Like, you talking about your experience, like, healed me a little, like, today, which is so amazing to me. Because I feel like I'm, as much as I love to give advice and I love to read all these things and to educate my followers and listeners about things, it's so amazing to me how much I'm still learning about who I am as a person and how to grow. And every time I have guests, like, I love to have guests like you on, because you end up teaching me so much, just, like, being even so open about being bipolar and being so open about having your suicidal episode and calling a suicide hotline and everything. It makes me feel like I'm okay then. I'm going to be okay. And then you talking to me and sharing your emotions with me, it is slowly healing me. So that's why I think it's so beautiful to share with other people, and why it's so important, you know?
Yeah.
You never know how much someone else actually needs it.
That's so true.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. That was nice.
Also, do shrooms. It's really good for you.
So the second lesson, do shrooms. It's really good for you.
Yeah, do shrooms. It's really good for you.
Okay. So what are you currently working on?
Myself.
Oh, that's not funny. That's just so sweet.
It is. It sounds like very like I was looking for a aw, but like it no, really is true. Quarantine has made me like really focused on myself and like trying to figure out. It's I don't have any distractions anymore really from myself and from what I want in my life and from what is not serving me and my mental health. And quarantine has forced me to really zone in on that, and there's no running away from it anymore because I'm just in my room. So if I'm not doing something that is serving me, or if I'm not doing something that is helping my mental health or having a positive effect on me, then I will be ruminating about it, and that's like very unhealthy. So I just have to cut all those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love that, and I feel like a lot of people are going through that, and I think that's the, as much as is a negative part of quarantine, it's also the beautiful part of quarantine. You have a choice now. How do you want to leave when quarantine ends? How do you want to exit it?
Right. And you want to go back to how it was, or do you want to go to something new and something?
Yeah. I feel like a snake that I've shed so many of my skins at this point. I'm still growing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I finally see the light, and I'm trying my best to constantly be positive, or even when I'm sad, I pick myself back up so much faster now. Mm. And it's because I've been working on myself. And like, it sounds like you've been working on yourself too as well. So,
and that's also the beautiful thing about like how many, if you can find a beautiful thing, the beautiful thing in the rounds of like depression or the rounds of like bottoms that you hit is that you find something new to help you every time to get out of that. Like, I know I've learned so many new coping mechanisms to feel better. Just from this one. And I used some of the ones from the last depression that I had to help me feel better this time. Because the truth of the matter is, life is not just all good. Life is sometimes fucking shitty. And it's about being in that balance, in that in-between of good and bad, of dark and light, of evil and love. I don't know what
but
the
you'll
other one
never
is that.
But the thing is, you'll never get to appreciate the light if you don't go through the dark first. Right. So it's like those bad moments that it's up to you how you're going to take it. Are you going to always be the victim, or are you going to be your own hero? And you're going to save yourself. So it's up to you to pick yourself up, but not just alone, whether it's talking to your friends or whatever, to take yourself out of the darkness and to go towards the light. And you appreciate the light and you appreciate the good moments so much more and understand how blessed you are when you had moments that were really low and really dark.
Mm.
I feel like that's what's helped me. Like today I felt a little overwhelmed with work and had a few seconds where I just felt like crying about it, you know? And, but afterwards right away, I was just like, I'm crying about something that 2 months ago I wanted to be in that situation. Right. I wanted to work. So what's really happening? I was like, oh, I'm crying over a guy. Okay, cool. So that's
the point of that. The root of the problem is daddy issues.
Oh, it's my daddy issues. Yeah, okay,
got
cool.
it.
But like, you know, I realize how blessed I am. Mm. So I think I realize where I was 2 months ago. So I think it's like, you got to take the good with the bad, the darkness with the light. And the most beautiful things comes out of the darkness. Like my parents fucking in the dark, you know, I came out. Just kidding.
But like, not really though.
It's real. I mean, maybe they had it did in the morning. Like, I don't know.
True.
Like, I don't know their could've sex been. Life, but I don't want to know. But, but yeah. So, wow. I feel like this was so therapeutic for me.
Yay.
Did you enjoy this
Me
podcast?
Me too. I really did. I really did.
Okay, good. Is there anything that you wish I asked you that I didn't?
No.
Okay, good. So do you see yourself releasing any new albums or singles or playlists this year?
The deluxe will be coming out. I love that you added all of them. I just realized that. I was like, what did she just say? Deluxe,
I'm trying to be educated.
I love that.
All the things.
The deluxe, Kiki, the deluxe album will be coming out.
When?
Don't know yet.
Okay, cool. So it's more towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it'll be within the next couple months, but there's no set date yet because it changes every 5 seconds.
I get that. Where can people find you?
Everything is at Kiana Lede. That's KianaLede, bitch. Sorry, I had to add the bitch. Just spelled right.
That's good. Okay, well, you guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me, Violet Benson. Don't forget to leave me a 5-star review. I read all of them. I know it sounds like I'm just saying it, but I swear I do. And some of them are really funny. And Yeah. Also DM me if you have any questions. DM Kiana if you have any questions. Make sure to follow her on Instagram. Check out all of her music. It's really good. Right now, my favorites are like Second Chances and X. Is it X's or X?
X.
X and, well, like Moving. And then there's one about like fucking. Which one is that one?
Separation or Honest?
Honest. Yeah. And then She Loves Crazy. So check out all of her music. It's really good. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening for another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy. And I'll see you guys next week. And don't forget, before I go, if you're feeling really down on your or you're feeling depressed, make sure to talk to somebody. Because of what we talked about today that could be very triggering, I will make sure to leave some links to suicide hotlines. And don't forget, I love you. Don't forget, you're not alone. And hope you have a blessed day. Bye, guys.
Bye.